Nehemiah chapter 4. Miss Elizabeth testifying a while ago said we hear the same message every week, and I thought, well, did my friend preach the same thing? She meant, I know what she meant. She meant we hear the same message that's preached every week. But I thought, man, have I been preaching the same message every week? Hey, if it's new, it's not true. Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to hit just a little bit here this evening. We'll go to the house, hopefully. I'm going to cover just a little bit of what we did the other night, and then we'll go on and give you one, maybe two points, maybe three, maybe four. Brother Tony Hudson, he's preaching. He said, just a few more. He said, like a fat lady going through a barbed wire fence, just a few more points and I'll be through. Y'all didn't laugh. That wasn't funny, was it? Nehemiah chapter 4. I think we preached from verses 1 through 6 on last Tuesday night. We're going to just hit a few verses. I don't know how far we go. We might not go far. You just bear with us this evening. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 4, said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O God, hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builder. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabians, and the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites, heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Lord, we thank you again for the opportunity we have to come together this evening. Lord, I pray that you'll be with those that are away. We pray that you'll just ever meet with us here. We know that your word said, where two or three gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. Lord, we could leave right now and say it's been good just to have sung the songs that we've sang here, heard the testimonies. Lord, that's been given this evening. I pray that you'll help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of this evening. And I just pray that your will be done. If there's one here lost tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll touch their heart. This might be the night that they'll come to trust you in the free pardon of sin. Lord, have your way. Bless the webcast that goes out. Lord, I don't know who's listening, who's watching, but Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts this evening. Have your way, and we give you glory and praise for all that you do and accomplish. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. We're looking at the thought of rebuilding the walls here in Jerusalem. Brother Chris asked me what my title was Tuesday night. I said, I guess just rebuilding the walls. And just a thought. I hadn't really thought about what to title some of these, but I just felt like several months back and looking at the book of Nehemiah and see what was going on. And we learned a lot about Nehemiah. I hope you've learned something about Nehemiah. But if you don't learn anything else, I hope we've learned that Nehemiah was a man of prayer. He was a man of prayer. And you'll go through and you'll read of several places, and there's several times right here in this very passage of Scripture where Nehemiah prayed. I mean, the situation arose and he began to pray. Brother Smith preached this morning on five requisitions for prayer. And he gave us five things and encouraged us in this matter of prayer. If there's ever been a time that we need to pray, it's today. Not only Nehemiah was a man of prayer, I believe that he was a man of compassion. I believe if we don't have compassion, we're not going to pray like Nehemiah did. Nehemiah seen a need. He seen something that needed to be done. His brother Hanani came to him there in Shushan, the palace, and he told him that the walls were broken down. The people was in great reproach. Can I say this evening that around the country in our churches, the walls have been broken down through the years, and people are in great reproach. Those that are wanting to live for God, those that are wanting to hear from God, those that are wanting to have revival, and I believe that we could have revival this evening. I believe that Open Door Baptist Church could experience a revival here. If we'd get to the point in place, we'd get honest with God, we'd get our compassion, would get wedded with the looking around and seeing the people that are on their way to hell, and that we could just have a great desire to see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. If we get to that point in place where we desired that, as Brother Smith was preaching this morning, we'd get importunate in our praying and seeking God, not give up. We've got a tendency to give up. There's been times that I used to pray more. I'll just be honest with you. I'm confessing to you my faults tonight. There's been a time when I prayed more than I do now, probably. And I know there have been. And you know, it's sad today that we don't have the compassion that we should. We don't pray like we should. We don't guard our prayer life as we should. And get in that secret place, in that place where we can pray to God in secretly and see Him reward us openly. Nehemiah was that kind of man. He had compassion for the people in Jerusalem. They weren't fortified. They weren't. They didn't have the protection they needed. The walls were broken down. They were in great reproach because of these characters here that I read about. And we looked at several things on last Tuesday night. And one of those was the problems that they encountered there in verse 1. It said, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat had heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." And I told you that there was four strategies that was used by the enemies of the believers, and we'll look at some of those this evening as we go through a couple of the points, maybe if we get there in just a little bit. But here we find the first thing, verses 1 through 6, that the devil used, and these individuals that didn't want to see the walls rebuilt and the breaches stopped up, we find that they used ridicule and mockery. They used ridicule and mockery. Can I say this evening that people, if you really serve God and you walk with God, you're gonna get some ridicule from this world. I mean, this world don't understand walking with God. The world don't understand a relationship with God, and we find they want to hinder. I mean, overall, this world wants to hinder, because I'm gonna tell you, when God's in control and when God's moving, I mean, sin's gonna be oppressed. I mean, light exposes darkness, and we see it all around the world. We're living in a dark time, whether you've noticed it or not. And I hope we don't get so used to the darkness in this day and hour that we're living in our churches, but I'm afraid that we have. But we're gonna, if we walk with God and we see God move in our lives and we experience worship and we experience service the way this Bible teaches, you're gonna suffer ridicule and you're gonna suffer mockery from this world and from the devil. I mean, the devil's working overtime. He knows he don't have much time. I mean, he knows where he's gonna end up. He knows he's gonna end up in the lake of fire one of these days. He can't do nothing about your salvation and my salvation, but he can sure hinder us and make us miserable through mockery and ridicule of this world. How are you going to overcome these things yourself? Well, number one, you're going to overcome it by prayer and perseverance. It's going to take some praying and some perseverance if we get over this mockery and this ridicule that's given to us by the world. Same thing as Nehemiah, they faith. I mean, there was a job to do, and God's work's never been easy. We say that it's hard sometimes, but the Bible says the ways of a transgressor is hard. I'm just saying that sometimes the work of God and the will of God for your life is not going to be easy, and you're going to have some perseverance in your life to keep on keeping on. You're going to have to make a commitment, and I believe that Nehemiah was a man that was committed to seeing these breaches stopped up in these walls, and the gates hung back in their place. And we see that God gave him a plan and a direction, and Nehemiah went about, but there were some problems that he encountered. We've encountered problems here since I've been here. I mean, when I first come here, we had, on a good Sunday, we was having 40 to 50 people. We were having visitors come in. All of a sudden, we had some problems. I mean, there were some things that happened, and different things, and people had problems in their lives, and they quit on God. I mean, let me just be honest, they quit on God. Some of them are at home tonight, now some of them's in other churches, and thank God that they moved on and got into a church somewhere, but there's a lot of people that the problems come, and they encounter, and they quit on God. Nehemiah wasn't that kind of a man. Even the ridicule from the world and the mockery as they tried to hinder him from doing the will of God, what God had called him to do was to repair these walls. And there's some walls that we need to repair. Because I'm going to tell you, the path of least resistance is what most people want to travel. They don't want to stand for anything. They don't want to stand for what's right. We'll make excuses all we want to, but I'm going to tell you, if there's things going on in church that needs to be dealt with, we need to deal with it. If we believe what we believe and things get up and it's out of biblical order, I believe it's pastor's responsibility to handle it and say something, and then I believe the people ought to back him up. I don't think he ought to have to stand alone. But what do we want? Do we want a biblical-based church, or do we want to go in our own way? Do we want this feel-good mentality? And if you go the right way and you uphold the standards of this Bible, you're going to suffer some ridicule and some mockery from this world. They'll call you old-fashioned. They'll call you old fogey. They'll say, we're living in 2017. Well, I beg your pardon. Last time I read over there in Hebrews, it said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hey, I believe that this Bible is the same as it was when the Apostle Paul was here. I believe it means the same thing. And just because we're living in a different world and people are different, they're going in their own way, don't mean we're supposed to change. You're going to suffer ridicule. You're going to suffer mockery. How are you going to deal with it? By prayer. And perseverance. And you're just going to have to keep on keeping on. And the second thing we mentioned the other night was the persecution that they endured there in verses 2 to 3. And I'm not going to rehash every bit of this. But then we see the prayers that were made there in verses 4 and 5. We see that Nehemiah, he responded to the mockery and the ridicule with the prayer. Verse 4 said, "Hear, O our God." He asked God to hear their prayers. Hey, I'm glad that we're serving a prayer-hearing God tonight. The Bible says the Lord's hand is not short, neither is ear heavy that He cannot hear. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, there's some stipulations there. The effectual, the continual, or the effectual, fervent, the heated prayer of a righteous man. There's the key, is a righteous man. Someone that's been saved, has had the Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness imputed unto them, but they're walking in righteousness. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord not hear me. You can't entertain and have sin in your life, unconfessed sin, and expect to get your prayers answered. Brother Smith covered that this morning. One of his thoughts there, points was obedience. I mean, we're going to have to be obedient to what God says in His Word. Most people just go nonchalantly on into their Christian life and they think everything's just hunky-dory and I can live as I please and I can get my prayers answered. But if they really pinned them down and we pinned our prayers down and wrote them down, how many of our prayers are we really having answered? He said, if you ask anything according to my will, it'll be done unto you. I believe it's God's will to save sinners, don't you? I believe it's God's will that we walk in the right way, that we live righteous lives. The Bible says if we purify ourselves even as He is pure. Hey, we have to work at this matter of being clean before God. There's some things you have to do yourself. Hey, you just have to make up your mind that, hey, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna live for Jesus. I'm gonna present my body a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It means exactly what it says. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. Hey, we're breathing air. We're alive. We've got saved. We're to be a living sacrifice, and we're to sacrifice ourselves, our bodies, for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to glorify God in our bodies. The Bible says, what? Know you not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. I appreciate Brother Joy saying what he did about quitting smoking. He hadn't went back on that. His body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when we intake things and digest things that's not beneficial to our body, we're destroying the temple of God. Is it even plainer than that? When you dress your body up, you ought to dress it up to glorify God, not to be seductive in what you wear that people will cause people to lust after you. Hey, we can't get a hold of this in our churches today. We're to glorify God. And if you do this, if you dress in a modest manner as to not to draw attention to oneself, and if you treat your body and you don't put sewage into your body and things that's going to destroy your body, people don't understand that. They think you're an old fogey. And they think you're being legalistic. It's not legalistic. It's just being obedient to God. Legalism is adding something to salvation that you do. Not living right. Just because you live right and you believe the Bible don't mean that you're a legalist. But when you try to add things to salvation, and if you live your life in this order, then you're going to suffer ridicule and you're going to suffer mockery. I mean, Nehemiah had a job to do. He was going to repair those walls. God had commissioned him. Artaxerxes had commissioned him. Hey, Artaxerxes gave him the material. He gave him letters to the people of the far. He was providing everything that they needed. And Tobiah and Sanballat and all these that were around him, and I'll say something else about that later on in this study, but they were surrounded on every side, the east, north, south, and west. They were surrounded by enemies. And it ends up, as you read on through and you'll read some more, you'll find out that it was an effort to rebuild these walls. It was an effort. We see the problems they encountered, the persecution they endured, the prayers that were made, and the purpose that was fulfilled there in verse 6. And I mentioned this in closing the other night. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Did you know if we do anything for God, we're going to have a mind to work? We're going to have the same mind. We're going to have the same mind on a lot of things. We're going to have to get together, and we're going to have to get our mind focused on the work of God and the will of God for our life, and we're going to have to do what He wants us to do. We're going to have to be willing to say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. We're going to have a mind to work. Whether the ridicule, the mockery, or what comes our way. So we see the next thing that's said here in verses 7 through 8 said, but it came to pass that when the Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So we see here the perplexed enemy here in verse 7-8. I mean, he said, then they were wroth. I mean, they were so perplexed, they got angry, and they got all tore up because those walls that had been torn down for all those years, and they had had freedom to come and go and to handle things and to rule that place, they began to get angry. They began to get angry, the perplexed enemy. That word wroth, it means intensely angry, highly incensed, wrathful. I mean, they got so perplexed about this and got so angry, hey, that they was wanting to, they were ready to kill some people. Let me read this. I wrote this down. I wrote all this down and we'll read it. The second strategy of the opposition was to conspire against the Jews plotting to attack them. When the opponents heard that half the wall had already been built, they knew that their strategy of ridicule and scorn had failed to stop the word. Scripture says that the people in the surrounding areas were very angry about the ongoing project. Did you know there's people in this world, in this community, that's angry about churches that are preaching the truth, hey, the works that's going on, and they'll do anything that they can. They're very angry. And they'll try to stop the work of God. And they're just vessels that the devil's using. They're just instruments in the hands of the devil. And I believe that's what Tobiah and Sanballat and the Arabians, the Ammonites and the Ashdodites are. I believe that they're just instruments of the devil because he hates Jerusalem, he hates God, and he hates God's people, and he wanted to hinder. So for this reason, the opponents formed an alliance and laid plans to attack the Jews who were rebuilding Jerusalem. No doubt they could have easily defeated the Jews, killing them and justifying their action by falsely accusing them of revolting against Persia. King Artaxerxes would most likely have accepted their false accusations since it involved a revolt against his throne. The same kind of situation had already been faced once before. Years earlier, some opponents had accused the Jews of threatening to revolt, and Artaxerxes had forced the Jewish exiles to stop rebuilding over in Ezra chapter 4, verses 19 through 22. Note, the Jews were now completely surrounded by their enemies. And I said I'd mention that just a little bit. In the north, there was Sanballat and the Samaritans. In the east, there was Tobiah and the Ammonites. In the south were Geshem and the Arabs, according to chapter 2 and verse 19. In the west were the Ashdodites, who were the Philistines. So we find here God's people in rebuilding the wall, they were completely surrounded by the enemies, their enemies, and they were wanting to destroy them and stop them from building those walls. Why? Because they'd had control all these years. They were about to lose control. When you get fortified, when you get a place of protection built, then that is half the battles to be been won. Tobiah and Sanballat and them, they had been... They could come and go as they pleased and at their own whim. And now they seen that their rule and their reign was in jeopardy and that they were fixing to lose their power. So, the second strategy of the enemy is conspiracy and devious plots. How do you overcome this kind of strategy of conspiracy and these devious plots? But you overcome by standing, watch, and praying again. There again, you overcome by standing, watch, and praying. And let's go over here and read just a few verses of Scripture. We'll look up and turn in our Bible just a little bit. Over in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. You know, we're commanded to be watching. We need to watch what's going on. We need to watch what we get into. We need to watch what's coming our way. Matthew 26, verse 41. It'll take me a little bit to turn. I wasn't going to write all these Scriptures down. I thought, well, we'll just turn. It'll do us good to turn in our Bible and find passages of Scripture. Will it be like a Bible quiz? Matthew 26 and verse 41. The Bible says, Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Here's our problem a lot of times. We don't watch and we don't pray and we see the temptations. We don't see the temptations coming. A lot of times we get lured into that because we've not been watching and we've not been praying. Then over in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Luke 18 and verse 1. The Bible says, and He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. So the strategy in this situation of this conspiracy and these plots against them was to watch and pray. To keep our eyes open and look for those temptations, look for those problems, those attacks of the devil that's coming our way. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I love to read the book of Acts. I love to read the book of Acts. If you've never read it through, y'all just put it in your daily Bible reading and read through and see all the things that's going on. It's not a history book, but it's filled with a lot of historical facts about the early church and how the devil attacked and how the persecutions came upon God's people. Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 32. Say, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Did you know Paul had problems with false teachers? After he'd go in and establish the work, hey, there's always somebody that wants to come in where a work of God has been established, where the Word of God has been preached and the truth, and they ought to always want to bring in their corrupt teachings. That's why it's so important to watch. And listen, that's why it's important to know your Bible. Hey, it creeps into all churches. I heard it today, at dinner, at lunch today. And, by the way, if it comes in here, I'll deal with it. I'll say something about it. I'm not going to let things go on that's unbiblical. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Okay, then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Paul said, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. And then he goes on and said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That's why we're to watch, we're to pray, and that we won't enter into those temptations. Because there's no temptation that's not been common to man. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men and be strong. Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Familiar passage of Scripture. It said, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Colossians 4 and verse 12. The Bible says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Revelation chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Galatians 3, verses 2 through 3. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. There's a lot of warnings in the Word of God about watching and praying and watching for our enemy, our adversary, the devil. He's looking for that weak time in your life. He's looking for that time when you've not been praying. He's looking for that time when you've not spend any time in the Word of God, and He's looking to pounce on you, and He's looking to destroy you. So we see the perplexed enemy, and we see what was taking place here. They've already tried ridicule and mockery, and here they're trying conspiracy. They're devising devious plots against the people of God. That's still going on today. The devil don't want us rebuilding the walls that's been torn down around us. He wants to finish off. He wants to destroy. He wants to keep God's people from having the victory. And if we'll just take the Word of God, if we'll watch for His tricks, if we'll watch for those attacks that's coming on us, just as Nehemiah did, as he kept his eyes open, every time you'll watch and you'll see what Nehemiah done. He responded most time in prayer. It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some perseverance if we rebuild the walls. And don't be surprised what might come your way. Don't be surprised if people that you wouldn't even expect in ridicule to come from. I mean, if you're trying to do the work of God, if you're trying to build the walls, and you're trying to, in your life, and you're trying to get close to God, don't be surprised. The devil, he puts it in people's heart to conspire against the work of God. There's a lot of things in for building churches today that, you know, you have to go through, and the county's always there, and you have to be careful. It seems like they make it hard, and sometimes they make it harder on public places, and especially churches. They won't even let churches build in some areas because it's of their zoning and ordinances and different things. And I know you got to have zoning ordinances, but I'm just saying that the devil is always trying to hinder the work of God and what we're trying to do for Him. So I'm going to stop right there. I said I wasn't going to keep it long. It's 15 after. We looked at some of this over on the beginning, and we'll hit the rest of it then on Tuesday night. But we see what they faced. And you're going to face some of these things if you try to do the will of God and do the work of God. Thank God for Nehemiah and the compassion that he had. If we could pattern our life after someone, Nehemiah would be a good Old Testament person to pattern our life by. He faced opposition even though he was doing the will of God. If you're doing the will of God, you're still going to face things. The devil don't want us getting anything. The devil don't want these pews filled. He don't want these pews filled. Now, we could compromise in some areas and do some different things differently, probably, but we're not going to. We're going to stay old-fashioned, number one. We're going to stay Bible preaching. The emphasis and the focus needs to be on the Word of God. I love good singing. You know I love good singing. I like to sing. And I believe singing sets the tone for the service. And we need good singing. We need to sing the best that we can. And I'd love to have a choir. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take people that love God. It's going to take people that's committed to God. And these men and women that were building these walls, they were committed to the cause. They were committed to the work. And you read on through there and it gets hard. They get discouraged. Hey, there's going to be discouraging times in our lives sometimes. We all face it. Let's just don't let it hinder us. Because if we don't put forth that extra effort, it will.